Ngayon po, yung series natin ay 5-week series. Ito po ay topical. Ito po ay specific topic, and then kukuha tayo ng mga iba-ibang passages to support yung ating topic. Yun po yung topical. Ngayon po ay October. Tiyatawag po ito ng mga Protestant na Reformation Month. So, ang series po natin is 5 Solas of the Reformation. Ang 5 solas po ay, ito po ngayon, matututo tayo ngayon ng Latin word. Mga 7 words lang naman. Sola scriptura means scripture alone. Solus Christus means Christ alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Soli Deo gloria, glory to God alone. Yan po ay ang ating series. I will be preaching ng unang solas. And then, ang remaining solas will be preached by other elders ng ating church. Ang mga solas po na ito ay Latin words or slogan na naging result ng Protestant Reformation. Ang word na solas simply means alone. Ang 5 solas ay statement ng theological beliefs ng mga reformers in distinction contrast sa Roman Catholic noong 16th century. In summary po, all doctrines ay from the scripture alone, nag-result sa other solas na ang salvation ay by faith alone, in Christ alone, and by the grace of God alone. No work or merit na galing sa atin, kaya ang ultimate goal ng salvation is to the glory of God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Yan po yung summary ng 5 solas. Now, let me give you po ng historical background ng Reformation. Before po mag-ignite yung Reformation noong 1517, tagal na po yun, 100 years before the Reformation, meron na po mga taong protesting against sa Roman Catholics, unbiblical belief and practices ng Roman Catholic that time. Isa dito po yun si John Wycliffe. Piglaban niya that time na matranslate yung Bible sa ordinary language, gaya nabanggit ni Brother Carlos kanina. Dahil that time, Latin lang po yung ginagamit na language. Bible Latin, ang mga Mass Latin, hindi po naiintindihan ng ordinary people. So merong biblical, Bible, illiterate po yung mga tao. And according sa Roman Catholic, nabanggit ni Brother Carlos kanina, na kapag tinranslate mo ang Bible sa ibang language, ito ay heresy. Ito ay punishable by death. Matindi po yung panahon na yan. Para sa Roman Catholic that time, ang bishop or yung church council o yung office ng pope, sila lang pwedeng mag-interpret ng Bible. Also, Wycliffe argue na ang authority ng pope ay unbiblical. And ang scripture lang ang ultimate authority ng church sa matter ng faith and practices. Si Wycliffe started ang movement na matranslate yung Bible sa ibang language, kaya mas lalong nagalit yung Roman Catholic kay Wycliffe. Ang teaching ni Wycliffe laid yung foundation na naka-influence sa mga reformers after him. Another significant figure sa Reformation ay si John Huss, the Goose, with the same cry ng protest. He believed na ang Bible or Scripture ang dapat na ultimate and final authority pagdating sa church, sa faith, and practice. And also dapat available ito sa local language ng tao. Nabasa niya ang mga sulat, mga works ni Wycliffe. Si John Huss also protested against sa ultimate authority ng Pope and sa mga unbiblical practices kagaya ng indulgence. Dahil sa teaching and belief, John Huss was sentenced to death. He was burned alive. Sinunog po siya. Bago siya patayin, ito po yung sabi niya. "You may roast the goose," si John Huss, "but 100 years from now, a swan will arise from whose singing you will not be able to silence." Parang prophetic siya. Sabi niya, 100 years from now, meron pang lalabas ulit. Then exactly 102 years later, isang Catholic monk named Martin Luther. He nailed 95 theses sa Wittenberg's door with the same protest, with the same cry against unbiblical practice ng indulgences. Yung pong indulgences, yun yung binebenta ng mga Roman Catholic para magkaroon ng forgiveness yung sin ng mga namatay na loved ones. So, ginawa pong ano yan, business. para mabigyan ng forgiveness yung mga namatay nilang loved ones na pinaniniwalaan ng mga taong yon na yung loved ones nila ay nasa purgatory, which is unbiblical, not true. So yun po yung kinakontest ni Martin Luther, one of those. Martin Luther posted yung 95 thesis niya to invite ng debate sa mga Roman Catholic, sa bishop, yung mga authority ng church, to invite yung debate para sa kanyang protest. Hindi aware si Martin Luther na may mga students siya, nung pag-alis niya, tinanggal yung 95 thesis niya, kinopya nila, multiply ng madaming copies, and na-distribute. Then, the Reformation started. Dahil marami nang nakabasa. After Luther, marami pa pong mga prominent na mga reformers, si Zwingli, John Calvin, kung familiar kayo sa kanila, one of the great reformer na malaking influence sa church ngayon, sa mga Christian. One of the common cry ng reformers ay, ito pa po, isa pang Latin, ad fonte. Yan po yung isa sa common cry nila. Ang ibig sabihin ay, back to the sources. Bumalik tayo sa sources. And ang main and ultimate sources is, ano po yan? The Bible. Yun ang cry nila, balik tayo sa Bible. Ang gusto lang naman ng mga reformers is to bring yung church back to sa faithful teaching ng Bible. Hindi nila goal to destroy yung Roman Catholic Church. They want to reform ang church. Ang gusto nila is bumalik sila sa biblical church. Reformation is not to start ng bagong religion, but instead ay rediscovery ang nangyari ng biblical church, ng biblical doctrines. And ang very foundation po ng Reformation is sola scriptura. That's the very foundation ng lahat ng solas. Scripture alone, ibig sabihin, has the final and infallible authority sa matters ng faith and practices ng bawat Kristiyano ng church. Ito ay against sa teaching ng Roman Catholic. At tinuturo ng Roman Catholic ay threefold system. Ang final authority ng church is scripture, tradition, magisterium. Magisterium yung office ng Pope. Yan, on the same level ng scripture. So, hindi ayaw pumayag ng mga reformer. They want to go back na ang final authority natin ay scripture. Naniniwala mga Roman Catholic na ang Pope ay infallible. Means, hindi nagkakamali. Kasi, kapag nagsalita yung tinatawag na ex cathedra, pag nagsalita ang Pope, ang sabi rin, pinoprotektahan siya na hindi magkaroon ng error. Dahil siya ang successor ni Peter. Yung office na yon, infallible. Yun ang paniwala nila. Kaya, the word of Pope is equal or sometimes greater than the word of God, the scripture. That's hindi matanggap ng mga reformer. So, yung sola scriptura po ay different sa solo scriptura. I remember, meron akong ganung mga nakakausap na, ako lang, I'm a biblicist, just me and my Bible. Hindi po solo scriptura. There's a huge difference po. A sola scriptura means, Bible is the ultimate or final authority, not the only authority. Final supreme authority, not the only. They recognize pa ang ibang authority. Recognize ng reformers, even ng scripture, na merong authority ang church, sa buhay ng Kristiyano, sa buhay ng church, mga pastors, even yung mga books na available. So, meron din tayo mga creeds, confession na can help us understand yung mga historical beliefs sa scripture. Pero ang lahat ng ito ay not ultimate. Yun po yung difference, hindi ultimate. Ang basihan po ng lahat ng ito should be measured, should be judged according sa scripture alone. Yun po yung sola scriptura. Solo scriptura is a belief na just me and my Bible. Ikaw lang mag-isa, hindi mo kailangan ng church, hindi ko kailangan ng pastor, punta ako sa kung saan man ako lang mag-isa, ako na mag-interpret, that's wrong, that's dangerous. Dahil even the Bible commanded us na to submit sa authority ng church leaders, church pastors, gaya ng Hebrews 13 verse 7 and 17. Sabi doon, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. 17, have confidence to your leaders and submit to their authority. 1 Timothy 5:17, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Ephesians 4:11, even Christ himself gave the church ng pastors and teachers. So sola scriptura does not mean just me, just you, and Jesus. You need ng other authority. Nire-recognize po yun. So, ang dividing line between the Reformed theology and Roman Catholic theology is ang sagot sa question na, what is the final and ultimate authority sa buhay ng church? That's the question. That's the dividing line. Para sa Reformers, Scripture alone and nothing else. Para sa Roman Catholic, Scripture, tradition, and the magisterium. Many early Christians gave their life sa doctrine na to, gaya ng mga nabanggit ko kanina. Even Martin Luther, humarap siya sa Roman Emperor, nakataya ang kanyang buhay, i-recant mo lahat ng sinulat mo, lahat ng sinabi mo. Sabi niya, hindi ko kaya. Because of my conscience. Because of the Scripture. So, marami nagbigay ng buhay dahil sa doctrine na to. Sa time natin ngayon, is it worth to die sa doctrine na to? Scripture alone? Mahalaga pa ba ito ngayon? We have vast of resources available online. Parang lahat sa internet are claiming ng truth. Parang basta galing sa internet, parang totoo na, no? Sa generation natin ngayon, truth is not objective anymore. Truth depends on the person. What true to you is not true to me. Parang ganun ang ano natin, reasoning. We have my own, you have my own truth, I have my own truth. So many religions, so many beliefs, so many churches, religions claim to have the truth. The question is, ano ang standard or ultimate na basis ng truth? Yan po yung sasagutin natin sa ating sermon. Ang big idea ng sermon natin is, Scripture alone, as the inspired word of God, is sufficient and the ultimate authority for all aspects of faith, doctrines, and practice. We will focus po sa dalawang characteristic ng Scripture. Number one, the authority of Scripture. Pangalawa, the sufficiency of Scripture. Punta po tayo sa una. The authority of Scripture. Saan ba galing yung authority ng Scripture? Sino nagbigay ng authority ng Scripture? Buksan niyo po yung Bible niyo sa 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Let's stop there. Tignan natin yung phrase na breathed out by God. Ito po ay a single word. One word lang po ito sa original language, sa Greek. Literally means God breathed. Nag-exhale lang Diyos. Sa original language, ang word na ito ay theonustos. Theo means God. Pneuma, nasa gitna. Pneuma may mean both spirit or wind or breath. Pareho po yan ng Old Testament and New Testament translated sa Hebrew to Greek. The same word. So, sa Bible po, ang Holy Spirit is described as God's creative breath. Psalm 33 verse 6, sabi doon, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath, pneuma, of His mouth, all their hosts na create. So, all scriptures are from the same creative breath ng Diyos, or spirit ng Diyos, the Holy Spirit. Kaya ang lahat ng nakasulat sa original scripture, or tinatawag na autograph, ay without error, trustworthy, authoritative. Sabi ni Paul, all scripture ay God breathed. All in scripture ay precisely as what God wants na intended to write ng author. Pero teka, di ba itong mga tao na itong nagsulat na ito, fallible, kagaya natin, nagkakamali din sila? How can we trust na scripture exactly what God intended to be? Tignan natin yung 2 Peter 1 verse 21. Sabi doon, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Sabi doon, for no prophecy, yung word na no, as you study yung word na yon, meron tong strong emphasis. It means na absolutely no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Strong po yon. Absolutely nothing na na-produced by the will of man. Ang point ni Peter dito is, God is the ultimate author ng scripture, lahat galing sa Diyos. God, through human authors, ay nasulat ng scriptures. Paano? Look at verse 21 again. Carried along by the Holy Spirit. Ang sinasabi ni Peter dito ay, ang lahat ng writers ng scripture, including him, ay hindi lang simply sharing ng kanilang expert opinion or subjective na experiences. Nung sinulat nila ang scripture, they spoke from God. Yun ang sinasabi ni Peter. God breathed out the scripture, gumamit ng human author, carried by the Holy Spirit, nagawa nilang scripture. God directly act on the human authors that resulted sa perfect written revelation using individual personality. Paano nangyari yan? It's a mystery. It's a mysterious work ng Holy Spirit. Hindi ko rin kayang explain. Ang mga authors ay nagsulat with their own creativity and in their own styles, their own vocabulary, na-accomplish nila exactly kung ano yung gustong isulat ng Panginoon, word for word, iota by iota. That's why kapag nagbabasa tayo ng Bible, nare-recognize natin yung differences ng style. May mga genre. And makikita natin yung mga style ng bawat author. Pero makikita natin doon na there is one ultimate author, God. Kaya naman, pag binasa mo ang Bible, makikita mo ang unifying message ng Bible. Merong coherency. They're written by 40 authors, hundreds or thousands of years apart itong mga author na to, pero merong one unifying message. Merong coherency. From creation narrative, Genesis, to new creation ng Revelation, and ng Bible. From Garden of Eden, to the new heavens and the new earth. With one direction, with one story, plot ng story. Merong one overarching storyline, the salvation of God's people. Merong one purpose, to make everyone wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Tingnan natin ano yung mga view ng Bible of itself. Sabi sa Psalm 12 verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. Psalm 18 verse 30, the word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. Psalm 119 verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Matthew 4 verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word, from the mouth of God. Sa lahat ng binasa kong passage, ito sinasabi about the word of God. God's word is pure, true, eternal, life-giving. Dahil ang scripture ay by the very word of God, the sovereign ruler of all creation, therefore, ang supreme standard and final authority ng buhay ng bawat Kristiyano, ng ating church, all matters of life, doctrine, should be tested from the Word of God. Hindi tayo mag-ooperate sa ating church based sa ating feelings or based sa mga strategy ng tao. We don't design ang ating worship service based sa preference ng tao or ano yung appealing, but based sa salita ng Diyos. We don't preach ng positive thinking. We don't preach ng prosperity gospel. There's no such thing, prosperity gospel. Dahil hindi yun ang tinuturo ng Bible. There's no gospel than Christ lived and died and rose again for the salvation of His people. That's the only message. We only preach the gospel. We preach the whole counsel of God dahil ito ang power of God unto the salvation of men. We don't create doctrines outside the Bible. Even ang buong mundo ay naniniwala na ang ngayon, paniniwala mga tao ngayon, ang gender ay preference. Maraming pronoun. Tinatanggap yung same-sex marriage. We submit sa scripture na ang mag-asawa ay between men and women. That's it. When God says, it's na-settle na yun. So kahit magbago po ang ating culture ang panahon, church ay kailangan mag-submit sa truth ng scripture. We operate under the authority ng inspired word of God, the Bible. ang ating doctrine and practice ay based sa Scripture. Even po sa ating personal na buhay, bilang Kristiyano, ang way of life natin ay dapat naka-frame, naka-base sa Scripture. Hindi sa philosophical wisdom, hindi nakabase sa pragmatist approach, whatever works, yun ang magwo-work din. Hindi based sa anong pakiramdam natin. Tingin ko, ito ang tama. Bukas, iba na ulit yung pakiramdam mo. Yun na yung mali. So there should be an absolute truth sa ating buhay. And that is the Word of God. Hindi tayo yung magde-define ng standard what is true. Sola Scriptura is not just a doctrine for intellectual exercise natin. Hindi ito doctrine para ready tayo makipag-debate sa Roman Catholic, sa ibang paniniwala. That's not the intention ng Reformer. It's for us na malaman natin na we are to submit sa authority ng Scripture. That's how God intended ang Scripture. It is one thing to affirm or believe sa sola scriptura. It's another thing to submit sa Scripture, sa ating practice. Let's have a test. How do you treat other people? James 3, the Scripture says, the Bible says, all people are image bearer ng Diyos. So let's treat others with dignity, respect. Don't look down sa ibang tao. Huwag tayong, mas Tagalog, mata pobre, parang ganun. Hindi dahil mataas ang status natin sa buhay, iba ang tingin natin sa ibang tao. All people are image bearer ng Diyos. How do you perform sa workplace? Anong sabi ng Bible? Merong sinabi ang Bible. Work wholeheartedly. Eh, Pastor, hindi mo naman alam yung kalagayan ko sa office. Eh. Unfair. May injustice. What do you expect sa fallen world? There will be injustice. There will be unfair treatment. Merong mga politics. Pero that doesn't give you sa atin ng excuse to disobey the Word of God. We are still commanded ng Scripture to be the best employee, to work wholeheartedly. For what reason? Because we work for the Lord ultimately. Yun ang sabi ni Paul sa Ephesians 6. Parents, how do we treat ang ating mga anak? Merong biblical wisdom. Sola Scriptura, kailangan natin mag-submit dito. Ang sinasabi rito, do not provoke them to anger. Bring them to the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Teach them the Word of God. Point them to the Gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember isang pastor ang sabi niya, ipang naituro lang natin sa anak natin is how to catch a ball. O mag-excel sa sports, mag-excel sa academics, sa corporate world. Naging nice kids, well-behaved kids. Eh, hindi natin sila tinuruan ng salita ng Diyos. We failed. We failed as a father, we failed as a parents. Children, youth, young people, not so young people, how you treat yung ating father and mother? Sabi ng Bible, honor them. Respect them. Kung nakatira ka sa bahay, nakatira ka pa sa nanay, magulang mo, respect them, submit to them. Sola Scriptura. Husband, how you treat your wife? Kung paano mo tinatrato ang iyong wife, nagre-reflect yun how you live out ang paniwala mo sa Scripture. Isang pastor sabi niya, if a man doesn't treat his wife right, I don't want to hear him talk about Christianity. Love your wife, Ephesians 5. Be the spiritual leader ng household at ng wife mo. Don't be passive. Huwag mo hayaan na ikaw yung maging reason na mahulog sa kasalanan o mahulog kayo pareho sa kasalanan. Be the protector ng wife mo. Care and shepherd well. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. Again, Ephesians 5. Biblical submission. Huwag bossy. Hindi po girl power, hindi feminism. Hindi po ganun ang treatment natin. Hindi dahil mas malaki kinikita mo sa asawa mo or mas intellectual ka, ikaw na magiging leader o masusunod. No. Scripture commanded you, submit to your husband. As to the Lord. So, mayroong mga biblical principles. That's a practical application. If we believe sa sola scriptura, we are to submit sa sola scriptura. Ito para sa lahat. This is the will ng Diyos sa atin. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:3. Among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Mga singles looking for relationship, hindi po dahil pogi, maganda, ito na yung gusto kong mapangasawa. The Bible says kung mag-aasawa ka, marry someone who is in Christ, someone who fears the Lord. Huwag tayong makuha sa pogi, tall, dark, and handsome. Hindi po damdamin ang authority natin. Eh, mahal ko na siya eh. Mabait naman siya eh. Wala ng bisyo, magalang, matalino, masipag. Ano pa nga hanapin mo? That's not the basis. The basis, God says, marry someone who fears the Lord. Someone who is in Christ. Pwede tayong magkamali sa ating damdamin, pero ang salita ng Diyos hindi magkakamali. We can go on and on sa mga practical na to. Believing to sola scriptura, sa authority ng scripture, is to submit sa scripture. Dahil ito ay the very word of God para sa atin. So ano gagawin natin? Spend more time, dedicated time, sa pag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos. Buwasan muna natin yung Netflix. Yung K-drama, napanood nyo na yan last year, huwag nyo na ulitin. Tumitingin sa akin yung asawa ko. Huwag tayong scroll lang scroll. Parang aimlessly passing time. Social media. Hindi natin alam, ba 2 hours na pala akong ano, nanonood ng mga reels. Huwag natin gawin ganun yung takbo ng buhay natin. Binigyan tayo ng salita ng Diyos for our benefit. Ang authority ng scripture is calling us to submission. We cannot do it perfectly. We all know that. We all acknowledge that. Pero we should magkaroon tayo ng struggle, ng tension between obedience and disobedience. That's the life ng isang Kristiyano. Dapat meron struggle. If wala kang struggle, you enjoying disobedience, maybe you're not a Christian. Because a Christian ay merong conviction. Kung nag-i-struggle ka, praise God and fight for that struggle to go that way sa obedience. Fight natin temptation. Mga kapatid, we have sin. Meron tayong nakita na natin. We all know, walang happiness sa disobedience. Walang lasting joy if you disobey ang salita ng Diyos. Disobedience or any other sin will just give us ng momentary pleasure. It's part of the moment pleasure. Yun lang makukuha natin diyan. Pero in an instant, ibibigyan din tayo ng guilt. Sadness ang tunay ng Kristiyano. Magigrieve. And worse, sin, ang disobedience natin, will affect ang ating family. Sin and disobedience affect hindi lang ikaw, even yung people that surrounds you. Your family. Ruined relationship. Damage ang witness mo for Christ. Na-damage ang witness mo for your children, sa iyong asawa. Walang happiness and joy sa disobedience. You all experience that. Even in a small scale na sin. So don't let yung ating emotion, yung ating circumstances, i-dictate yung life natin. Hindi yun yung final authority. God's Word. Maari ang tanong mo, Pastor, paano yung ibang area ng life? Paano yung ibang area na hindi naman nakalagay sa Bible? Paano yun? Saan ko hahanapin ang wisdom? Tingnan natin yung second half ng ating sermon, second and last point, the sufficiency of Scripture. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng sufficiency ng Scripture? Look sa dalawang confession. Maganda yung explanation dito. Yung Belgic Confession, 1561. Ang sabi doon, we believe that those Holy Scriptures fully contain the will of God, the word fully contain the will of God, and that whatsoever man ought to believe unto salvation is sufficiently taught therein. Westminster Confession of Faith, the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from the Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelation of the Spirit or traditions of men. Ang sufficiency po ng Scripture does not mean na ang Bible addresses lahat ng information, all the fields and practice sa buong mundo. Sufficiency in Scripture does not, hindi mo makikita na paano gumawa ng missile, ng rocket papuntang buwan. Wala sa Scripture yan. Hindi po yun ibig sabihin ng sufficiency na lahat ng gusto mong malaman nandun. Hindi encyclopedia ang Bible, and God did not mean na gamitin natin yun in that way. Hindi po yun ang sufficiency ng Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture means na wala na tayong ibang kailangan. Lahat ng kailangan natin for salvation, to be wise, for godliness sa ating life, ay nasa salvation. Hindi natin kailangan ng additional inspired revelation. Hindi na natin kailangan ng mga books. Meron mga latest na ano, no? Yung mga namatay, pumunta ng heaven, tapos bumalik para ikwento. That's unbiblical. Wala pong ganun. Hindi natin kailangan ng someone na mamamatay, babalik dun para lang sabihan tayo about ano ang heaven. Nasa Bible na yan. That's unbiblical. Huwag po tayong pahulog sa mga ganong klaseng storya. That's all false. So, tignan natin again yung 2 Timothy verse, chapter 3. Sabi rin, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Sa last part ng verse 17, ang word na complete po dito, that's define sufficiency ng Scripture. All Scripture breathed out by God is able to completely equip you for every good work. Second, sabi, kung babalik tayo ng one verse away, verse 15, sabi ni Paul kay Timothy, Scriptures are able to make him wise sa salvation in Christ Jesus. Sabi ni Paul, Bible is sufficient. It tells us everything we must believe para sa salvation and how to live pleasing sa Diyos. Look at verse 16. All Scriptures are profitable for teaching. It engages ang ating mind. Scriptures engage ang ating mind. Mahalaga sa Diyos ang ating mind. Ang ating intellect. What and how we think ay mahalaga. Scriptures corrects yung ating false understanding about life, about sin, about God, about salvation. Profitable for teaching. Next, profitable for reproof. Scriptures rebukes us, convicts us. It corrects yung ating disposition. Scripture exposes ang ating sin and our ungodliness. Yan ang gamit ng Scripture. Profitable for correction. Ang word na ginamit dito sa correction, may root word na ortho. Refers sa idea na straightening. Straightening. Orthodontist. Pamilya na daw. Yun yung nag-straight ng ngipin natin para ngiting ano, Hollywood smile tayo. Diba? Yun yung mga ganon. To straighten sa atin para magmukha tayong pogi, mas maganda. That is the same idea. That is the idea. Scriptures corrects us, straighten us, to make us pleasing a Dios. Next, profitable for training and righteousness. Scriptures helps us spiritual discipline for godliness. This is crucial sa atin. Hindi tayo passive dito na, eh, pag namatay man ako, heaven na ako. We need to work. We need to work out ang ating discipline towards godliness. And scripture can help us. Kaya mahalaga alam natin ang scripture. Sabi sa 2 Peter 1:3, lahat ng bagay na necessary, everything na binding sa ating conscience, everything God requires sa atin ay nasa Bible, nasa scripture. Look at Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Sinasabi rito, ang salita ng Diyos ay perfect, nagbibigay ng wisdom, ng joy, insight sa buhay natin. Ang salita ng Diyos ay transformative guide sa human life. Yan ang testimony ng scripture itself. Going back to Timothy. Ang sinabi ni Paul kay Timothy, Timothy, he's a young pastor sa Ephesus, sabi niya, Timothy, you can have ng confidence sa scripture. You can have ng confidence sa scripture. It's from God. It's breathed out by God. It's powerful. Have confidence. Scripture. Ito ay trustworthy. Hindi mo na kailangan ng mga gimmicks sa church mo. Hindi mo na kailangan ng mga maraming pakulo, maraming program, maraming para doon pumunta ang tao. Hindi yun ang kailangan mo. Preach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. The whole counsel of God. Preach the Scripture as authoritative and sufficient. And this is what we do dito sa Crossroads. We focus and central on the main thing, the Word of God. You notice a song, read the lyrics. If it is true sa scripture, yun ang kakantayin natin. If not, hindi natin kakantayin. Should be true according sa scripture. Even ang ating prayer, scripture saturated, ang ating preaching. Because that's what God's people need, the Word of God. To hear and fill yung ating mind with God's Word para sa ating maturity and growth. We don't need mga TED Talk sa church. We don't need good vibes message. Hindi yun ang kailangan nyo. Hindi yun ang kailangan natin. Not health and wealth teaching. Hindi yun ang pinangako ng Diyos. Not about name it or claim it. Walang ganong power. Wala kang maniname and makiklaim. Hindi totoo po yun. And that's not the message of the gospel. Those are not necessary sa ating salvation and godliness. Yon ay pushing us to ungodliness, desiring more material things. Those are unbiblical. Those are false teachings. Sabi ni Paul, if may magturo ng ibang gospel, let him be damned. Let him be cursed. Kapag may nagturo pa ng ibang gospel. Health and wealth, prosperity, hindi ito galing sa, hindi ito pangako ng gospel. Ito ang pangako ng demon, ng devil. We don't preach what people naturally want. Yun yung sabi ng isang ni John Piper. We preach what God says and what God's people need for salvation. A few years back, na-invite kami ng asawa ko na umattend ng anniversary ng church somewhere in Fujera. And yung guest preacher nila, nag-preach more on how to be successful sa buhay. Mas marami pa ang quote niya from Steve Jobs, from Bill Gates, and sino pa yung mga successful businessman. Kung meron mang Bible verse, out of context, what will profit sa lahat ng nakinig do sa message na yan? Nothing. It will not add for their godliness, for their wisdom sa salvation. It will add ang more desire, material things. Dahil hindi yun ang pinangako ng Bible. Ang kailangan natin ay to know ang scripture. Kaming mga pastor, preacher, we get nervous because we are dealing with the Word of God. We want to be careful. We want to be faithful. At the same time, we want to boldly proclaim the truth of Scripture. And we spend hours just to make sure ang sasabihin namin dito is faithful sa salita ng Diyos. Dahil sabi ni Paul, ito ay authoritative. Ito ay authoritative, salita ng Diyos. Huwag mong iba yan, huwag mong babago yan, huwag mong i-distort. Let the people of God know the Word of God. So, to disregard Scripture ay disobedience po sa Diyos. Ngayon, kung tanong mo ngayon is, anong God's will lang, anong God's will sa buhay ko? Paano ko malalaman yung God's will? Open your Bible. Anong God's will sa'yo if, abawangan mo, hindi ko alam kung pupunta ako ng Canada or US or Australia or dito lang ako sa Dubai. Di ba po, alam ko marami sa ating ganyan, yun ang ano, ito ba kalooban ng Panginoon? Pagbukas mo ng Bible, wala naman eh. Wala namang makapagsabi kung alin sa tatlong bansa na ito pipiliin ko. So, dumilipas yung panahon, hindi mo pa rin alam, ano? Kasi hindi po nakalagay yun. Hindi mo makikita sa Bible yun. It's okay to plan. It's okay to aspire to prosper. It's okay to put up ng business. It's okay to aspire ng gusto mong mag-migrate. It's okay. Hindi kasalanan yun. Pero, if ang security and joy, contentment natin ay nakadepende sa bansang pupuntahan mo, sa finances mo, sa sitwasyon mo, sa status mo, then Scripture is not ruling sa buhay mo. Ang tawag ng Bible dyan is idolatry. Sabi ng Bible, you should have no other gods than the Lord. Yun na yung Diyos mo. Hindi yun ang security natin. It's okay to plan. It's okay to aspire. Pero let yung mga plan na yun is below sa will ng Diyos, sa kalooban ng Diyos. Huwag po natin gawing idolatry yung ating riches, ang ating dreams, ang ating trabaho. Anong gospel sa singleness mo ngayon? Single ako, anong kalooban ng Panginoon sa akin? Be pure. Protect your purity. If you're in a wrong relationship, submit to the Word of God. Huwag natin pagpatuloy na mabuhay tayo sa disobedience and sin. Sola Scriptura, submit to the authority of God's Word. Being stuck sa circumstances mo doesn't give you ng reason, ng excuse na magpatuloy sa disobedience. Church, mga kapatid, continue to walk alongside one another. Habang magkakasama tayo dito, that is just a matter of time. Some of us, aalis, we are transient congregation. May aalis, may darating. Habang nandito tayo, continue to be an encouragement. Build up ang kapatiran. Open yourself sa community. Let's speak truth in love. Call sin as sin. Huwag natin i-tolerate yung sin. Dahil sa culture natin, pakikisama. Oh, muna sabihin kay Pastor, para ka namang, hindi ako naman iba sa akin eh. That's cultural. Filipino. Pakikisama. It is unloving kapag ginawa natin yun. Hindi natin kinolang sin as sin. We don't want to be cultural. Let's aim to be close sa Bible as much as we can. Let's be biblical. Pagdating sa relationship and everything we do as a church. Merong beauty yung culture natin mga Pilipino, pero our culture, our tradition should not be on the same level ng Scripture. The sola Scriptura. The final authority. Kung ma-open ko ang kapatid ko because yung cultural ano namin, I'd rather offend than to disobey the Word of God. That sola Scriptura. last Friday, a friend, isang kapatid from other church dito sa Dubai called me. He was in a big decision ng life niya and his family. It seems na resolved na siya doon sa decision niya. After long conversation, usap kami about some biblical principles with them. Praise God, he changed his mind. He realized na yung decision niya would impact yung spiritual life niya at ng asawa niya at mga anak niya. May negative impact sa mandate ng Panginoon sa kanya to be the leader and shepherd ng kanyang wife and ng kanyang mga anak. It was a tough decision. I can sense, I can feel. Tough decision dahil yung i-give up niya would make a difference sa life nila. But he chose to submit sa scripture. Lahat ng sinabi ng mga pastors niya sa kanya, ng mga elders niya, ay na-echo ko lang. After ng conversation namin, I was encouraged. Immediately kinuwento ko sa wife ko. I was encouraged. Merong tension and struggle sa kanya, but he chose to honor God and submit sa scripture. That is an example of practical application ng sola scriptura. He gave up yung kanyang aspiration dahil he believes he submit sa authority ng scripture sa kanya as a husband, as a father. Mahirap man, countercultural man, foolishness man sa mata ng tao, kahit mahirap, always choose to obey God. Ano man ang plan natin in whatever area ng ating buhay, hindi masama magplano, but take this principle. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat, whether you drink, and whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whenever na you are in the decision making, take a pause. Ask this question. What about God? Mau-honor ko ba ang Diyos sa gagawin ko? Mau-honor ko ba ang Diyos sa sasabihin ko? Is it glorifying sa Diyos? Sola scriptura is to submit sa authority ng scripture. I'm repeating that intentionally. The word submission, not just affirmation ng doctrine. Believing and affirming ang doctrine without submission ay disobedience. James 1 verse 22, sabi ni James, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Ang tunay na evidence na you believe sa authority ng scripture is you put it to action. If not, you are deceiving yourself. Sabi ni James, sabi ng Bible. Look at John 13 verse 17. Ang sabi ni Jesus dun. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. See, knowing is not enough. If you know these things, that's not enough. Ang blessings ay, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. So, let scripture fill our minds and hearts and let it overflow sa ating action that other people would see how glorious our God is. As a church, let it be a reality sa buhay natin, in and out ng ating community. Nawa ang sola scriptura ay maging way of life ng ating church, ng bawat isa individually. And may we all say with David sa Psalm 119 verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Mga kapatid kay Kristo, you can have the confidence sa salita ng Diyos. Ito ay pure, perfect, sufficient. Ito ay breathed out by God. It's a grace. It's a gift sa atin, mga Kristiyano. What you have in Christ is sure. Yung mga promises ng gospel na pinaniwalaan mo is sure. You have forgiveness of sin. You have eternal life. Nothing and no one can snatch you away from the hand of Christ. That's sure. No one can separate you from the love of Christ. Rejoice. Look forward to the ultimate promises ng Diyos sa gospel. All the promises ng gospel are certain. You can live with sure hope, joy, dahil alam mo na trustworthy ang salita ng Diyos. That's the confidence. Kung makikipag argue ka, how did you know na Bible is trustworthy and authoritative? Because God says in His Word. Yun ang argument natin, because God breathed. It's a circular argument. So, as you lead yung anak mo and family mo, be central sa salita ng Diyos. If tingin mo, parang hopeless ka na, mukhang di na magiging Kristiyano yung anak ko, mukhang di na magiging Kristiyano yung family ko, yung tatay ko, yung nanay ko, keep sharing God's Word. Don't lose hope. Keep sharing God's Word. I read one article, napakagandang article nito, from John MacArthur. May sumulat sa kanya. Sinulatan siya, taga-Canada. Isang Canadian na dating sundalo, naging drug addict, alcoholic, may mga anak pero walang asawa, nag-iisip na siya mag-suicide. Nagkaroon ng karelasyon na member ng cult. So, sobrang complicated ng buhay niya. Nag-apply siya security guard, so nagkaroon siya ng trabaho. Nagtrabaho siya just to sustain yung drug addiction niya. Night shift siya lagi. So, in order to stay awake, may nakita siyang radio and nag-try siya makinig pero walang masyadong masagap na station, kundi yung Christian station na nagbo-broadcast ng sermon ni John MacArthur. Grace to you. Nung una niyang pakinig, naiinis siya kay John MacArthur. Parang, sino tong tao na to? Ang tawag niya, Bible-thumping na tao. Holier than thou. Kala mo sinong banal. Napaka-aggressive pagdating sa Bible. Naiinis siya, pero wala siyang option. Pinakikinggan niya pa rin. Gabi-gabi nakikinig siya. Just to stay awake. Verse by verse daw, yung explanation ng tao na to, sabi niya, I'm learning ng Bible. Then one night, sabi niya, John MacArthur explains God's holiness, sin's penalty, and guilt. Nagkaroon siya ng takot sa puso niya. Sabi niya, dati siyang sundalo. Napasabak na siya sa war, pero sabi niya, doon lang ako nakaramdam ng ganitong klaseng takot. I fear yung wrath ng Diyos. Ito sabi niya. That night, sabi niya, itong preacher na to, si John MacArthur, was faithfully preaching the gospel. Ito, I love this. The same holy light that exposed my sin is also the same light that exposed my Savior. He begged God for forgiveness. He understood yung sacrificial death ni Christ dahil sa kanyang sin. Nakita niya yung darkness, yung sinfulness ng kanyang buhay, hopeless. Pero nakita niya ang kanyang hope sa beauty ng cross, sa sacrifice ni Christ. In the same passage. Praise God, ano? And within the same week, he stopped yung drugs, iniwan niya yung girlfriend, yung kulto. Hindi na siya, he never looked back, never do the drugs again. Nagkaroon siya ng asawa, ng pamilya, Christian, na-reconcile siya sa mga anak niya. He then decided to move sa US para pumunta sa church. Nag-join siya sa church ni John MacArthur and he's studying seminary now at the age of 50. God's word is powerful. Powerful to transform even the hardest heart na sinner. So don't give up. Trust God's word to change ang anak mo, ang magulang mo, ang family mo, keep sharing. One day, keep praying na magbigay ng fruit ang Panginoon. Beyond your power to convert ang iyong family, but it's not beyond the power of God's word. Friends, if wala kang relasyon kay Kristo, nandito ka for maaring na-invite ka rito, religious practice, part na ng practice ng mga Pilipino, being religious. You think that you are good? On what basis? Being in the church does not make you good. Anong basihan ng goodness mo? The Word of God. Look at the Word of God and look at yourself. With all honesty, ang sasabihin mo, I'm dead. Woe is me. I don't have hope. Parang si Martin Luther. Sabi niya, sometimes I hate God. Sabi ni Martin Luther. Pero nung as he read ng Romans, ipipreach sa atin ni Pastor Jim, sabi niya, the gates of paradise open. Nung makita niya, by the righteous shall live by faith alone. No goodness. Kahit active ka sa church, if you don't have Christ, there is no way for you to be right with God. You should see that by faith alone, in Christ alone, you can be right with God. So, if you are here, you're not a Christian, the same word of God can expose your sin and can expose sa'yo ang yung Savior, Jesus Christ. Try to consider that. Turn away from your way of life na ikaw yung authority, na ikaw ang susunod, buhay na walang Diyos, turn away from that sinful life. Turn to Christ. Believe sa promises ng gospel na sino man ang manampalataya kay Kristo ay magkakaroon ng kapatawaran sa Diyos. Will not perish but have eternal life. Turn to Christ. God's word will never fail. Also, warning, judgment, and promises ay sure din namang mangyayari. There will come a time na you will stand before God. Take the gracious offer ng Diyos. Consider me warning ng scripture. Consider me invitation sa inyo ng Panginoon. Come to me, I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Take that invitation. Warning and invitation at the same time. Consider mo. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son, Jesus, has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Consider this passage. Let's pray. Father, salamat for giving us your word. Thank you for Jesus, the ultimate revelation of yourself sa amin. Panginoon, nawa ang doctrine ng sola scriptura ay hindi lang maging head knowledge sa amin, but maging reality sa bawat araw ng buhay namin. Dalangin namin na sa church na kami ay maging community who submit to your word. Help us to be faithful sa salita mo in everything we do sa aming church. Dalangin ko mga kaibigan namin na nandito ngayon na walang relasyon kay Kristo. O Lord, dalangin ko Panginoon, open their eyes, open their heart, na makita nila ang kanilang greatest need. That is Christ Jesus and the forgiveness and the reconciliation na ino-offer ng gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.